Welcome back. Citizens of other countries who live or visit St. Louis may have need from time to time for any of a number of services, ranging from acquiring documents to needing emergency assistance. A consular corps has been established here and in most major American cities, in which local residents are appointed by various nations to represent those nations and serve the interest of their citizens here. To learn more about this corps, we've invited longtime St. Louis area educator John Wright to join us. He is president of the board of directors for the St. Louis Consular Corps, and he represents Senegal. Also with us is Lansing Hecker, consul for Germany. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being
with us. Thank you for having us.
Glad to be here.
You know, I think unless you're someone from another country, most of us probably don't realize that we have this community in our midst. Tell us something about it, John, with regard to how many countries are represented.
Well, right now, we were founded in 1950, so we've been in existence for 62 years. We have 22 countries here and 16 active members of the Consular Corps, and we meet once a month to review what's taking place in the community and to discuss issues.
Lansing, tell us, how has it happened that you are representing the Federal Republic of Germany?
Well, it's one of those jobs you can't apply for, at least not with Germany. Someone approaches you and asks if you would consider being on a list of candidates, and that happened to me about 9 years ago tomorrow. And our mission is very simple. It's to serve German citizens and the interests of our countries in our jurisdiction. My jurisdiction happens to be Missouri and southern Illinois. They carve up the country for little areas so everybody can be covered, but just very quickly, Germany's only the size of Montana, and they shove about 82 million people inside. And when they come over to a large continental country like the United States, they are just have no clue how broad the distances are, and that's what we do. We serve as a convenience across the United States. There's about 35 of us in North America.
How many German citizens are likely to be here at any given time, do you?
It varies. In the North America, it could be anywhere from 2.5 to 3 million people.
Wow. Wow. And how busy does it keep you?
I get calls every day in my case because we have a very large concentration across the country. The St. Louis area historically has had German and German-American immigrants and citizens. And I get calls from either Germany or other areas outside my jurisdiction, but it's interesting.
Well, if it weren't for the Germans, we wouldn't have much of a city here, I don't think.
They play a big role.
Yeah, right. And, John, Senegal, I imagine there are fewer people here from that African nation.
Yeah, we have a Senegalese association here. We have about 400 known residents. Mm-hmm. We have a bunch of individuals who are not, I guess you'd say, registered. And you only find out those when situations arise. They kind of stay in the shadows.
How did your appointment come about?
Presidential appointment. A friend of mine introduced me to the former president of Senegal in Paris, and through his recommendation to the president of Senegal, I was appointed.
What is your relationship, I'll put this to both of you, although I assume the answer is the same, with the U.S. State Department?
We're all approved by the State Department, and you can be approved by your country, but you have to be authorized to act on behalf of your country by the Department of State. And you carry a card that says you are legitimately authorized to represent that country. Without that, you can't function legally in the country.
Do you have diplomatic plates?
We have license plates. Yes, we do. They don't immune you for too much except for carrying out your duties.
Well, I was going to ask you, Lansing, about the diplomatic immunity. Does it carry that far?
We do have it as stated on the card, but basically it's you don't try to test it.
Well, there was in the news recently, there was someone who was trying to test it, and that's Jill Kelly was tied up in this Petraeus affair, and I think she was an honorary consul from South Korea. Is that correct?
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
And she tried to relieve herself from some obligations. I think
she may have tested or exceeded the boundaries of what most people would consider to be appropriate.
Well, how might that incident affect you guys in terms of the publicity it got and how people might think of you and approach you?
Well, one of the reasons we're here is to help people be aware that we live and operate in this parallel universe. Yeah. It's almost invisible unless one of our citizens raises their hand or if we're needed to be involved in some way. But most people don't even know we exist.
Yeah.
So that's the story that you have to get out. How about the people that you would serve, the Germans who are here, the Senegalese who are here? Do they know where you are? Do they know how to find you?
Well, we have a Senegalese association, and I work closely with them, and so they have no difficulty reaching me. And by being on the Internet and the web, we're located there, and I get calls from all over the country. We had one of the citizens who lived in Kansas City who passed in California, and they were trying to locate the family in Kansas City before they buried him in California to make sure the family knew he was there. And so with the Senegalese Association, I was able to locate the family in Kansas City.
How much of your time does this typically take? I mean, you have another life, and you've always been at this for a while. But of course, you're well known and respected here as an educator.
Well, it varies. There are peaks and valleys, and sometimes you get a number of calls, and then you go for a period of time where you get very few. Mm. And so it varies. It all depends on difficulty. Sometimes the immigration authorities call you because they have difficulty, and you have some individuals who get arrested, and you get called at that time. Although we're supposed to be notified any time there's a major problem by the local authorities, many times they don't know they're supposed to do that. Mm-hmm. And so we have to wait till the family of the individual calls us.
The family from the country you're representing.
Right.
You're talking about that. Lansing, what about communicating with those countries and not only with families but with government officials? I'm sure that has to be part of it for various things that you do.
It is. We're fortunate in that we also have a website, and I'll give it a plug just in case there are any listeners that are German out there. It's www.germany.info, like information. Mm-hmm. And we work with a lot of the officials over time. We've become acquainted. They do change out, like we may have a new chief of police or we may have a new mayor or a county executive, but we make sure that we get involved in one way or another. Mm-hmm. Plus we have, I'll call it social activities. We have diplomatic, we call it public relations. The Germans have fests all the time, it seems. And you're always going to meet or shake someone's hand, like the mayor or the chief of police, at an Oktoberfest here in St. Louis or the 8 or so that I attend every year.
Well, we have a sister city over there in Stuttgart, one of our sister cities.
It is, that's another way that we get involved. The mayor of St. Louis and the county executive both are actively involved with our relationship, and it's been a very positive one for both Stuttgart, which we celebrated our 50th anniversary 2 years ago, and it's been very good for both countries. It's kind of grassroots diplomacy, for lack of a better word, person to person, handshake to handshake.
Well, I lived in Germany for 6 years, and I'm familiar with their festivals. And anytime you have one, let me know.
All right.
They're generally pretty good. How about, John, similar kind of situation on your side of it?
Well, we stay in contact with the embassies. You know, we have to make quarterly reports. Mm-hmm. That's required by the Department of State to make sure you're officially doing what you're assigned to do. And I keep in touch with with the mayor's office, through the World Trade Center. Most of the things for international activities are coordinated for the city and county through the World Trade Center. We used to have a Center for International Relations, but it's merged now with the World Trade Center, and they coordinate all the international visits, trade missions, and things of that nature.
I don't mean to be indelicate, but do you get paid for this service you're providing?
No.
In fact, it's at our own personal expense. We don't. It's for the honor,
really,
as they say.
It's an honor.
It's for those plates.
You have to pay for those also.
Sure. That's the way the system works, I guess, everywhere. You know, we're talking about the kinds of things that you would do, helping with visas and medical emergencies, deaths, and things of this kind. But your portfolio, if I can put it that way, goes beyond that, does it not, with regard to really to promote the culture and commercial aspects of the countries that you're representing?
It's sort of wide open.
Yeah.
Any way you can, you help. Like, I help with Ramadan, find a place for the Ramadan celebration this year. I helped with Christmas celebration. I ended up playing Santa Claus.
I was going to ask about
that.
So
I ended up doing that. And festivals, exchanges, educational exchanges, educational travel. We work in all those areas.
concerts.
In St. Louis, we also have a lot of German-American organizations. They sing, they dance, they get together just to have good times. And that's kind of another level that we help with our public diplomacy, to be there when they need us, as well as to promote their activities like Stuttgart's sister cities. We have about we have a lot of sister cities around St. Louis, so I work with on the other side of the river. Belleville has Paderborn, and we work with their organization as well. And it's exciting to meet some of these young children when they come, or young kids when they come over as exchange students, which is another way we encourage diplomacy at the grassroots level. High school kids come, stay for a semester, stay for a year, and they go back changed. It's opened up a new world. And the same thing, we send our students over to Germany with scholarships as well as through the high schools, and it changes their lives forever.
Sure.
Which is a neat kind of benefit.
Any kind of an exposure to a different culture is certainly beneficial. I'm going to ask listeners in our audience to come into the conversation if they would like. If you've had any experience with the Consular Corps here in St. Louis, we'd love to hear about that experience. 382-8255 is the number. That's 382-TALK. You can also send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. We will take a tweet at STL on air, or you can also reach us through Facebook. John, what sort of an impact does this life of yours, this part of your life, have on your family?
Well, my wife has traveled. In fact, I took my grandson to Senegal when he was 13. And so I've gotten my family involved. We've had international guests. The mayor's son has stayed at the home. The mayor stayed at our home. So we have international exposure, and I think it's broadened them and my family. I have had two sons of the three who've been to Senegal, and so they've been broadly exposed and enlightened.
How has it changed their lives?
Well, I think it's made them more internationally aware. I think if we hadn't been an international family interested in international affairs, they probably wouldn't have been as much as they are now. And we've had, working through the World Trade Center, we've had international visitors as guests at our home. And so by having dinner, friends for dinner, and we've had long-term residents stay for a couple of months. Even we had an individual from South Africa who did an internship who stayed with us for 2 months.
It's like the old story of the man who came to dinner. He came to dinner and stayed 6 months. Leslie, how about your family's relationship with this position you hold?
Well, my now adult son and daughter went over to Germany about 12 years ago, and it opened up their eyes. I go to Germany every other year, sometimes every year. I won't say that whether I want to or not, but because we have to go to Berlin and we have to meet with our bosses. And it's been an eye-opener for us as well. My wife doesn't like those long flights and is not taking them anymore. It's about a 12-hour trip, and it is tough if you've ever gone on those long flights, as John knows.
But just getting to Berlin is worth it.
It is.
It's a great. It's one
you
of the
would not recognize it if you haven't been in 5 or 10 years. It's completely changed. You don't even know there was an east or west.
Well, as I said, I lived there for quite a while, and we sure knew it back in those days, because you could stand on one side in the western sector, where it was lights and things were going on, and look to the east, and it was just dark. There was nothing. It was quite a transition at that time. So the families have adjusted to it very well, except your wife doesn't like to travel.
She participates in all the local events. She's good at that. I appreciate her support.
Do you speak German?
A little bit. Mm-hmm. Mein Deutsch ist nicht so gut, which is not very good. But when I'm over there for at more about 2 days, it comes back very quickly.
And also, most Germans speak some English, that's for sure.
They all do. And that's what's surprising. We have our exchange students go over there. They want to show off their German language skills, and they almost can't do it. The Germans want to show off their English skills. So,
John, what about language with your constituents?
Very limited French, but most like Lance, most of the people you meet over there, many of them speak English. Many of them speak several languages. And while you're away, if you stay for a couple, like if I'm there for a couple of weeks, many things you've learned come back, and you're forced to use the language, and it becomes a routine with you when you go in, knowing how to bargain and ask for things.
It's the best way to learn, isn't
it?
It's the best way. It's to be forced to do so. I would gather then that maybe some of the people you might come in contact with might not speak English.
Correct.
Okay. How do you deal with that if you're not fluent?
Well, you take your time. Uh-huh. And with me, I generally carry a scratch pad. And I've learned to draw out certain things, and that's proven very beneficial even when I'm in the country. I can draw things. There's a book I have also for travelers. It's nothing but photos. And if you want a certain thing done, you can point to the picture. And the light goes on and things move.
But I would think that some of the things that you'd be dealing with would be fairly complicated and not easily done through a scratch pad or a picture book. I mean, we're talking
about... You learn and you find someone in the country who generally speaks or someone nearby who can always go with you to help you translate and what you need to do.
Okay.
Because many times, besides the language, you got the local language blended with the French.
Yeah.
So it's just not understanding French. You've got Wolof and Senegal blended with the French. So individuals speak a combination of both of those at the same time.
All right. And Lansing, how about your situation with regard to Germans here who don't speak English and have to deal with you?
We have very few, and if necessary, I have them come to my office and we'll have somebody there who speaks German, or they bring a relative who has a son or daughter who speaks English and translates for them.
Yeah, somebody you can turn to very, very quickly for this kind of an emergency. Yeah. Let's go to the phones and get some of the listeners into the conversation. Art joins us from St. Louis. Go ahead, Art. You're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call, Don. Yeah, you know, it seems like through the years, the Strassenfest has been getting less and less attention, and I was wondering how big of an influence and draw would that be for overseas German population. Maybe it's my introverted or my nature with respect to wondering whether the Stasi might be able to penetrate into our Strassenfest, and to what degree background checks. Does the Department of Justice get involved in any of this immigration naturalization or this here process where they come in for a visit?
Well, the Stasi, just to explain, are the East German, former East German secret police who became quite notorious, obviously, following the war and the division of Germany. But is that a concern that you have, Lansing?
Well, I can't speak for the Strassenfest. The Stasi are long gone. It's almost 25 years ago next year in terms of 2014. So I don't think they're a threat or a concern. Several years ago, we had a problem with the American National Socialist Party. And that was more of I'll call it internal concern more than external concern. And that went away.
How about, John, any issues with regard to the environment we're living in today where there's concern about terrorism and people moving around? Is this an issue that you might have been confronted with?
No, we haven't had any problems with that. I do have a large number of individuals who are not documented, registered. And as long as they stay out of difficulty, there's no problem. It's when they get involved with the latest thing is selling counterfeit goods because that's a big moneymaker. And then you have the manufacturers who get involved and they have to get deported. Mm-hmm. And they get warnings, and then if you discontinue because the money's so good, they end up having to go home, if not serve time.
Do you wind up working with the Justice Department on any of these things?
Yes.
I mean, is that part of what you're dealing with as well?
Yes.
I can say the consular corps has been very fortunate, and we have a good relationship with the local office of the FBI. We've been taken on a tour down there several years ago, and we invite their local director, who we go through different ones, to come down and speak to us at our monthly luncheons. And also we work with the U.S. Naturalization Immigration Office. If they have concerns, we also work well with the U.S. Office of Foreign Missions out of the Chicago office, who keep us advised of any concerns. And we have very good safety as well as with our local police in terms of, as you've seen, some of these embassies and consulates can come under attack, but our security over here is normally supported well by the local police departments as well as the FBI.
Do you have buildings? I mean, John, you've talked about using your home as kind of a way station, if you will, for some of these. Do you have an office that is a consular office for these folks?
I'm officially in the World Trade Center.
Yeah, okay.
I have office space there for meetings, but most day-to-day staff comes out of my home. Yeah. I have my fax machine in my home. Documents that come from other outside go to the World Trade Center and they get them to me. But if I want to have a meeting with a group, I have office space there.
What about training for this job? I know there has to be some. How extensive is it and what sort of things does it cover?
It's OJT.
On-the-job training, huh?
And I'm working with the Counselor Corps College. We're now setting up a program to train Counselor Corps members, because it's just as you go, and many people call each other. Like I call Lance and some of the other members, what do you do about this? How do you conduct this? And so it's about members helping each other when they have certain problems that come up, because many times you only have them once, and it's kind of hard to prepare for that unknown, unidentified problem that only comes once in 5 years or 4 years. And so what do you do? Others in the Counselor Corps have it. And then at our monthly meetings, we talk about situations and ask, how are you handling this situation? And we get advice.
At these monthly meetings, Lansing, what do you see, what emerges as the biggest challenges for you folks?
Well, a lot of it is nuts and bolts work, which we all share in terms of common issues. But John has been good with his St. Louis connections to get us. We have guest speakers on occasion. Mm-hmm. And John has been very good about that. Sometimes it's somebody local, somebody from out of town. But it's a very worthwhile organization to belong to, because we can share things with that I may have in common with the consul for Spain or for Poland. And it's particularly right now with the European Union going through all kinds of exciting times. You can gain insight from another perspective.
Sure. John, is your appointment subject to review? Is it a lifetime appointment?
It's 5 years. Uh-huh. It's by the Department of State 5 years. It could be lifetime by the country, but the Department of State gives you a 5-year agreement to function. Uh-huh. Then the embassy has to ask for another 5-year extension.
I see.
And then yet the appointment is at the request or the approval of your country. They can call you in at any time. They can say, no, we're tired of you. We'd like for someone else to do this work. And so you're really at the request of the government.
We only have about a minute and a half left. I'll ask each of you and respond quickly, if you would. What's the most unusual situation you've been confronted with in this job?
I guess to get a call from California to find a family of a dead native, not knowing what you're going to do to locate that, to make sure the family knows this individual has passed away. And we were able to get that resolved. But that was the most unusual thing. How did you get my number? What am I supposed to do? I don't know a soul in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. But working with the Assad Society here, we located the individual's family and were able to, and the wife was very pleased to get the information and was glad that kids could see their father before was taken away.
And 30 seconds, Lansing, you're?
Well, I have a lot of different stories to tell, but the one thing that is rewarding for us and for me particularly is just that we are a convenience for the German citizens and the government, and that in itself is enough reward for me.
All righty. Well, thank you so much, gentlemen.
Congratulations
on what you do, and thanks for letting us know a little something about something most of us know very little about. Now we know more. Again, thank you so much, John Wright.
Thank
nice
you.
To see you. Lansing Hecker, thank you for being with
thank
us
you.
And telling us about the Consular Corps here in the city of St. Louis. And I'll ask our audience to join Steve Potter tomorrow for Cityscape, when he'll talk with actor Ken Page about the world premiere of his production Café Chanson with Upstream Theater, with St. Louis Symphony conductor laureate Leonard Slatkin about his participation in the next concert of the Chamber Music Society of St. Louis, and about Metro Theater Company's production of Jackie and Me, focusing on the life of Jackie Robinson. Monday on St. Louis on the Air, we'll preview the new session of the Missouri Legislature. Archived versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis On the Air is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, with production assistance from Aaron Dorr and Spencer Reed. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.